leading into Christmas, we're extremely busy, and because of the freight and logistic issues of getting a fresh refrigerated produce out of Tasmania, you find that we're most busy the week before Christmas. So it takes us 3 days to get product to Victoria, 4 days to New South Wales, 5 days to Queensland. So really most of our work ready for people's oysters for Christmas is done by today.
But what I'm looking at, they're very tiny little oysters. They're what you call spat, aren't they?
Yes, they are. So that's something that's a little bit unique about our family business. We're the only vertically integrated oyster farm in Australia that does right the way from hatching of spat oysters, so mums and dads choosing our genetic breeding lines, right the way through to full-sized marketable plate oysters. But we also have our own processing factory.
But how many varieties of oyster do you manage here?
We've got a couple of different ones. Basically, we've got different oysters for different regions. So if you imagine, similar to cattle, you'd have a different breed of cattle for the Northern Territory is what you do for central New South Wales. And very similar with oysters, we'd try and tailor the genetics of our oysters to where they're going. So if they're going to be in Tasmania, then we'd try and avoid slower growing animals because they already take 2.5 to 3 years to grow down here. Whereas if we're selling to South Australia and they have higher mortality rates with faster growing animals, we'll try and tailor a product that's going to grow at a rate that's, I guess, more in keeping with the climate that they've got and the food sources that they've got. We also have some projects going on at the moment with the industry genetics program, and that looks at disease resistance. So there's been a lot of news around the POMS outbreaks and oyster mortalities in New South Wales around the Hawkesbury and Botany Bay. So we're breeding oysters for disease resistance as well, and that's an ongoing process.
How much seed do you manage?
So we've got quite a large farm in terms of total hectares. We've got just shy of 200 hectares on our farm. This site here at Blackman Bay, we've got a lot more water down at Eagle Hawk Neck, and that's deep water, so it's a different type of farming style, and it necessitates more broadacre, I guess you'd call it, style of farming.
I'm interested in this because you really are at the mercy of so many variables. How does this season compare to last season, when I know effluent was a big problem for many growers?
Margot, this season's been it's been a bit of a curveball, actually. We had an exceptionally cold winter. So Tim here, one of the fellows that works here at Blacklands Bay, he's been in the industry for over 30 years, and he said that by far this has been the harshest winter that he's experienced. And I guess that is backed up by the bureaus that were saying that it's one of the colder ones we've had in the last 50 years. So, you know, that's definitely had an impact on the growth of the oysters. And then we've had an exceptionally dry spring, I think the driest on record down here. So that as well affects the ecology of the region. So environmental flows, water runoffs, all that sort of stuff, they all have an impact on the environment. And you know, we're obviously at the mercy of that. You don't imagine many livestock that you can't actually physically go and feed. Well, oysters are one of them. And you know, imagine if you couldn't fertilise your pasture, you know, if you're a dairy farmer. Well, that's kind of the issue that we've got with our oysters.
And the season also affects things like algae, which is a critical part of the industry in terms of feeding the shellfish too, isn't it?
It definitely is. So algae is our pasture, I guess. The only problem is that, like any pasture, we get weeds, and you'd probably know that is the harmful algal blooms that we've been hearing about. They don't just affect oysters, they also affect rock lobster and scallops and mussels and that sort of thing. But I guess it's a good pip for the industry that we actually fund the vast majority of the water quality testing that picks up the initial levels of these harmful algal blooms. So in the absence of the oyster industry testing, you wouldn't actually have the pre-warning for the rock lobster, which come up to Christmas, for example, very, very popular with the recreational sector as well. So, yeah, we think that that's something valuable that we can contribute.
So we've got two kind of barges here that have bought in your stock. Tell me what the process is. What am I looking at here?
Okay, so newest barge is a 7.5 metre by 3 metre vessel. That's a main work vessel. We can put in excess of 2,000 dozen mature shellfish ready for sale on that.
2,000 dozen.
That's it, 2,000 dozen. So I think the other week we did, in one day, we did over 10,000 dozen, which is, for a small business like us, it's a massive part of our turnover. It's in this month alone, we'll do 30 to 40% of our turnover for the year.
So that's what's happening here. The guys are restocking stuff. They've taken the spat from the nursery. Is that right? And these are going out.
Yeah, that's correct. So we find we don't actually have a lot of time to do much other work than sell in these couple of months. And the farm empties out pretty quickly, as you can probably imagine. You might have driven past a huge pile of baskets on your way in, which is all empty, waiting to be refilled. So this is the seed stock that's going back into the area. And in 2 years' time, we'll be selling this at Christmas time.
The season's prices must fluctuate according to conditions as well. So how are things this season for you?
Early on with the harmful algal blooms, we found that we were closed for, I think, about 5 weeks of this season, precautionary, so that... That sort of knocked us around a little bit, and we thought that that was actually going to be detrimental to our season. But the weather conditions in South Australia actually meant that they had a slow growing season. So if you can imagine supply and demand, South Australia actually got quite a good price because Tasmania was out of the market. So those guys moved a lot of oysters in a short space of time, and then subsequently started scratching around for oysters that were of the right size. We had plenty of oysters the right size, but we were closed. So once the algae moved on and our season was open, we found that the market was actually quite hungry for our product because they'd already sort of chewed up most of the stuff from South Australia. So we actually got quite a good price this year. It generally doesn't fluctuate as much as you might think. We do get commoditised a little bit, but it's all we can do to try and, I guess, make the most of it when we do get a good season. So it's not quite as volatile as grain or beef prices, but yeah, we definitely do have the supply and demand aspect, and 1 year in 5 or 6 we'll find that we can really take advantage of that, and this year was one.
And does the fact that you're doing the fresh table oysters as well as the spat offset that kind of volatility?
Yeah, for our business it does. You know, we've got our spat oysters, so that's one revenue stream that, you know, doesn't depend on the market as much for mature oysters. Then we've obviously got our intermediate size product, and then we've got our mature product, and then we've got our fresh half shell product, and then we've got our frozen product. So we're definitely
well covered.
We've got a lot of different streams that come in. But I guess at the end of the day, it's important to understand that a cold winter and a slow growing season will affect all of the product because they're oysters. So yes, it does take out a little bit of volatility, but you know, we're still farming.